topi janna balabha jilva bhavi yasauranandana braja jana ramjana jamuna tira vannakai Jamuna tira vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Gopi Jana Balabha Kiri Varadhari
Jaya Gopi Jana Balabha
Kiri Jaya Gopi Jana Balabha Kiri Varadhari
Jaya Gopi Jana Balabha
Kiri Yashodanandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Om Vishnupad, Paramahansa Puri Braja Gacchara Jastitarasata Shishi Maresi Bhakti Vinanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Nitya Leda Pravishta Om Vishnupad, Paramahansa Puri Braja Gacchara Jastitarasata Shishi Mabhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Namacharya Haridas Thakur Ki Kaimche Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nithananda Shitvaita Gadadhao Shivasri Gova Bhaktivinoda Radha Krishna Gopina Samakund Radhakund Kirigopadam Ki Vindavindam Ki Mai Pukul Nabhutip Dam Ki Jagannapuri Dam Ki Nyur Ramamiti Dam Ki Tulsi Devi Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Ganga Mai Ki Ramana Mai Ki Sambeta Bhakta Vindu Glory some of the devotees, glory some of the devotees, glory Shri Guru and Gauranga Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So we're on the last end of this canto, verse 48. This is canto 2, chapter 10. Shonaka ubacha Yat aha no bhavan sutta Shatta bhagavatottama Chachara tirtani bhuva Chachara tirtani bhuvas Tattva bandhun sudustya jan Yadaha no bhavan suta Chatta bhagavatottama Chachara tirtani bhuva Tattva bandhun sudustya jan bandhum sudhushtam. Yadahano bhavan sutta. Yadahano Rākirtāni bhūvās Chakvābhandun sudhushyajan
Yadāhāno bhavān sūtā
Yadāhāno bhavān sūtā Chata bhagavato tamā Chārakirtāni bhūvās Yadahano bhavān sutā Atvā bhagavato tamā Chachāra tirthāni bhūvā Mandun sudhusya Shaunaka uvācha Sri Shaunaka Muni said, you said, unto us, Bhavan, your good self, Sutta, O Sutta, Chitta, Vidura, Bhagavata Uttamaha, one of the topmost devotees of the Lord, Chachara, practiced, Kirtani, places of pilgrimage, Bhuva, on the earth, Tattva, leaving aside, Bandhum, all relatives, Sudhusthyajan, very difficult to give up. Translation, Shaunaka Rishi, after hearing about the creation, inquired from Sutta Goswami about Vidura. For Sutta Goswami had previously informed him how Vidura left home, leaving aside all his relatives who were very difficult to leave. Purport. The rishis headed by Shaunaka were more anxious to know about Vidura, who met Maitreya Rishi while traveling in the pilgrimage sites of the world. Now, if you do 49 and 50, they have a good chunk. I'll read, if anybody wants to read with me. Kshatu kaushara veshtasya Sambhado gyatma sansvita Yadvasa bhagavan tasmai Krishtas tattvam ubachaha Pruhinas taridang shaunya Vidurasya vichestitam Bandhu tyaga nimittam cha Yataiva gatavam punah. Translation. Shaunaka Rishi said, let us know, please, what topics were discussed between Vidura and Maitreya, who talked on transcendental subjects, and what was inquired by Vidura and replied by Maitreya. Please also let us know the reason for Vidura's giving up the connection of his family members and why he again came home. Please let us also let us know the activities of Vidura while he was in the places of pilgrimage. Purport. Sri Sutta Goswami was narrating the topics of the creation and destruction of the material world, but it appears that the rishis headed by Shaunaka were more inclined to hear of transcendental subjects which are on a higher level than the physical. There are two classes of men, namely those too addicted to the gross body and the material world, and others on the higher level who are interested more in transcendental knowledge. Srimad Bhagavatam gives facility to everyone, both to the materialist and to the transcendentalist. By hearing Srimad Bhagavatam in the matter of the Lord's glorious activities both in the material world and the transcendental world, men can derive equal benefit. The materialists are more interested in the physical laws and how they are acting. and they see wonders in those physical glamours. Sometimes due to physical glamours, they forget the glories of the Lord. Sometimes. They should know definitely that physical activities and their wonders are all initiated by the Lord. The rose in the garden gradually takes its shape and color to become beautiful and sweet, not by a blind physical law, although it appears like that. Behind that physical law is the direction of the complete consciousness of the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, things cannot take shape so systematically. The artist draws a picture of a rose very nicely with all attention and artistic sense, and yet does not become as perfect as a real rose. If that is the real fact, how can we say that the real rose has taken its shape without intelligence behind the beauty? This sort of conclusion is due to poor fund of knowledge. One must know from the above description of creation and annihilation that the Supreme Consciousness, being omnipresent, can take care of everything with perfect attention. That is the fact of the omnipresence of the Supreme Lord. Persons still more foolish than the gross materialist, however, claim to be transcendentalists and claim to have such supreme all-pervading consciousness, but offer no proof. Such foolish persons cannot know what is going on behind the next wall, yet they are falsely proud of possessing the cosmic, all-pervading consciousness of the Supreme Person. For them also, hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam is a great help. It will open their eyes to see that simply by claiming Supreme Consciousness, one does not become supremely conscious. One has to prove in the physical world that he has such Supreme Consciousness. The rishis of Naimisharanya, however, were above the gross materialists and the false transcendentalists. Thus, they were always anxious to know the real truth in transcendental matters as discussed by authorities. So I assume I should read the last verse. Oh, no? Is that for tomorrow? I guess. Okay. As a purport, so somebody's for that. Yeah. All right, I won't assume that. That's stupid. Shonakas said, after hearing about the creation, he inquired from Sukha Goswami about Vidura, for Sukha Goswami had previously informed him how Vidura left home, leaving aside all his relatives who were very difficult to leave. Shonaka Rishi said, "Let us know, please, what topics were discussed between Vidura and Maitreya, who talked on transcendental subjects, and what was inquired by Vidura and replied by Maitreya. Please also let us know the reason for Vidura giving up the connection of his family members and why he again came home. Please let us know the activities of Vidura while he was in the places of pilgrimage." Pandiham Shigaro Shivata Kamalam Shigurum Vaishnavam Shashirupam Sagadatam Bhaganavam Shigurushaka Sagana Bhaganatam Mitam Tam Sijivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chitanya Devam Shirada Krishna Param Sahagana Valita Shivashakam Tam Shah Panchakalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Pakitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Okay, so a lot of stuff is theoretically covered here because there's so many chapters of discussion between Vidura and Maitreya coming up in the third canto. And even in the first canto, a lot of this material, it's not material, spiritual material, is covered, specifically chapter 13, when Vidura came back. So Bhagavatam is not necessarily chronological. We're going back and forth. So, but that coming back is mentioned in this 49-50 verses. No, why did he come home? So he left. He had spent a good portion of his life in instructing his older brother Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra, anyone has never read Bhagavad Gita, he's there, Dhamma Kshetri, Kuru Kshetri, he has his sloka there. He was hearing from Sanjaya the Bhagavad Gita, so Dhritarashtra was very, 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 you could say, attached to his family. And fortunately for him, Vidura, who is the manifestation of Yamaraj, one of the 12 Mahajans, he was always instructing him, and he was protecting the Pandavas. Dhritarashtra, he always looking after his own sons, and he wanted to keep the Pandavas down. Okay, but don't let them have any power. But then when they were trying to get power, he figured out that he always went along with his son, Duryodhana, especially Duryodhana, who was... Now, Vidura, he knew, and he saw, even when Duryodhana was born, he was braying something like an animal, kind of like a jackal or an ass or something. Very inauspicious. So Vidura means someone who knows a lot. So he told that, you know, this son of yours is useless. You should, I hate to say this, but you need to get rid of this kid, you know. He's going to make... Vidura didn't need to get an astrologer. He knew this guy was a trouble for the whole world. So then Dhritarashtra, he always respected his brother, but he could not, how can I do that, you know? Can't do that. He was so, throughout his life, Dhritarashtra was so attached. Finally, at one point, Duryodhana was so inimical, he had performed so many mischievous, demoniac activities toward the Pandavas, Vidura just told him, many years later, he said, you know, your son is causing the problem for the whole world. You need to really do something. But Duryodhana was hearing all this himself. Therefore, he said, you get rid of this guy. He's my uncle. Throw him out of the palace with only his breath. That means, don't exactly, but you can beat him or whatever. They didn't beat him. Nobody beat him, but he left. So he got the hint, I don't need to stay here anymore. This has gone too far. My brother doesn't listen to me after so many years giving him good advice. So I'm going. He left his bow there. There's a nice painting. I remember I saw Bardraj do the painting. It was an ecstatic painting. He's walking, and you see the bow is there by the door, and you see Dhritarashtra sitting inside. So, very nice painting. Actually, I was amazed how he could do that painting so fast and get the message across just like that. That was an amazing thing. So, therefore, Vidura left. He went to all places of pilgrimage on the Saraswati River, and Prabhupada's explaining in the purports there how... He literally says there's millions and billions of holy places and temples throughout Bharatvarsha. Of course, the demoniac, later on, so many demoniac in Kali Yuga, they tried to... Still there's hundreds and thousands, even in anywhere in India you can go, practically. But it's described there. And Prabhupada quotes a verse that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was speaking to Sanatana Goswami, that sarvatra prakash ta bhakte sukha dite, that these prakash or archivigraha forms that are in the temples, they're everywhere. Sarvatra prakash. And why are they there? That adharma stapite, it says, Jagatira dharma, dharma stapite, nasha dharma stapite. There's so much adharma naturally in the material world, but because of the temples, because of the deities, they keep this in check. So these places are meant for going, and so many... So Vidura felt that he'd become impure by his association with Dhritarashtra. Although, from our angle of vision, he was, Prabhupada even says, this Bhagavatam says here, right here, Bhagavat Uttama, not only Bhagavat, Mahabhagavat, but Uttama Bhagavat. We're all aspiring just to hear about Vidura year after year, forever, just to hear Vidura's instructions. And his instructions were very clear when he... I'm just working backwards a little bit, but you can't say because there's so many things chronologically, not chronological, I mean. So when he came, and you read chapter 13, the Dhritarashtra quits home. Everyone was very... He'd been gone for many years, and when he came back, then everyone was hearing that now the battle of Kurukshetra was over, and so there was no Duryodhana, these rascals gone. But He was instructing immediately, get out of here. You're still sitting here, my brother. You're supposed to be going out. You should immediately go up to the north. And Pratikriya Nayasyeha, some of the verses are there. They're very amazing. Anyone who likes slokas, highly recommend it. Pratikriya Nayasyeha Kutas Chit Parachit Prabho. Saesha Bhagavan Kala. Savesha Na Samagata. So he says pratikriya, because pratikriya means counteracting, some sort of counteracting measure. Because throughout his life, Dhritarashtra was always asking Vidura, like, what can we do now to counteract this, to, you know, something going on, we need to do some measure that will help the situation like that. Because Vidura was always protecting the Pandavas, just like Duryodhan and Dhritarashtra went along with. They sent him to Vanaravata, the name of this place. It had a shellac palace. They walked in. It looked like a really nice place. They said, oh, you guys, we gave you a whole palace. Just, you can have it. It's nice. But actually, it was inside the bricks or somewhere that was shellac, very flammable. Vidura, this is only one instance. Vidura was giving so many hints and direct instructions to the Pandavas, you know, be careful, this place is, there's so many weapons, some are made of iron, others are more subtle, so be careful. And he even sent a man there to dig a ditch. This is, no. So he came to that, he came back after all this time, pratikriya, he said, there's no counteracting measure anymore, you need to just get out of here, time is up. Kutaschit karachit prabho, there's nothing, no one, Kutaschit karachit, there's nothing that can help you now. Why is that? He says, Saesha Bhagavan Kala. That Bhagavan himself has come in the form of Kala. You could not recognize Krishna. Well, he saw Krishna, Dhritarashtra, but you couldn't see him, understand. Premanjana Charita, Bhakti Valochana, because to see, when you see Krishna, if one has eyes with a salve of love, he can see Krishna, he can understand, but just like so many people are after Krishna, they may not see Krishna, but they always want to find Krishna. Prabhupada said, this is as good as seeing Krishna, to always look for Krishna. So therefore he told Dhritarashtra, get out immediately. Amda paraiva vadiro. Another thing he said, amda pura means before, but at birth he was blind. Amda. And vadaro means hard of hearing. Now you can't even hear. You can't even hear. From birth you're blind. Not only blind materially, it probably says you can be blind materially, just like Bilva Mangala Thakur. He was seeing Krishna, Daivena na apaliti dibya kishora murti, seeing the divine form of Krishna, even though he would poke his eyes out. He didn't want to see this material energy, but he could see Krishna everywhere. Bhak just steered it. Bhagavan, he could see Bhagavan everywhere. But Dhritarashtra had ample facility, but he didn't accept, therefore. Now he had to accept this realization that his relatives have never helped him. Relatives, like Prabhupada said, now I have come to Vrindavan, there's only a list of my relatives. And his relatives, of course, are not so bad like Duryodhan, although one of them was somewhat like that. But so, one has to give up this attachment somehow or other. Takva tuna mashesha mandala pati shanim sada tuchava. Example is given. Takva tuna mashesha mandala pati. Even the six Goswamis in there, especially Rupa, Sanatana, and Raghunath, they were very, very wealthy persons. And in the case of Rupa and Sanatana, they were mandalapati. That means politically they were highly established with the kings of India. They were directly in charge of the entire Bengal. Still, they gave that up when they came into contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Takvasudusta Surechita Raja, because he was himself fully renounced, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it says in the 11th canto, Tattvasa Dusti Sarepshita. That which is desired by the devas, that he gave that up. And his mother was a perfect mother, his wife. Still, they were not like Duryodhana. He just saw the example. So six Goswamis, they gave up Tuchava, just like a very insignificant. So these are some of the lessons learned when we hear about Vidura. First, the first few chapters in the third canto are all about Uddhava, because it talks about the places of pilgrimage. But after Vidura had gone to so many places of pilgrimage, and not only seeing the deity, seeing the the places, but just seeing the chakra, Prabhupada mentioned, just like when Haridas Thakur, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana, they were told by Mahaprabhu, if you simply see the chakra in Jagannath Puri temple, it's as good as seeing the deity. So Vidura was seeing the deity, was seeing the chakras, of course. That's why there's so many high temples all over the world, the chakra is there. So even if someone doesn't go in the temple, he gets benefit. He may not be a devotee, he might be some inimical person, but by seeing that, they get, that's why these demoniac persons, they can't stand it. Oh my God, they can't stand it. The temples, they want to destroy it like that. But the temples are so important, and they're spread all over. And Vidura went and became purified. So when he first approached, first he was speaking with Uddhava for several chapters, and he was asking about, asking Uddhava, but Uddhava is such an exalted person, great devotee. He was given instructions, Uddhava Gita, 28, 29 chapters in the 11th canto. And we could spend a lifetime studying it over and over. Even this, even these chapters, you read it again and again, it's like there's no end to it, how much is there. So Uddhava, when he met Uddhava, Uddhava instructed him, he was asking Uddhava, he already knew, Vidura had already heard about the destruction of the Yadu dynasty and Krishna's disappearance, but it's just, as Prabhupada says, it's psychological, it's not really historical, and he's asking him, oh yeah, what about that, tell me again, he wanted to hear. And finally Uddhava said something, he said, one of the things I remember, he said, Krishna dyumni nim loche, gurneshva jagarenaha. Kim Nuna Kushalam Bruyam. He said that Krishna, the sun of Krishna has set. So when the sun sets, that's dark. Krishna Jumani means the sun. Krishna Jumani Nimloche means set. And our house, he said, our house means the whole world. It's been swallowed by the snake of time, Grashta, Sarpa Grashta. So this is what Uddhava said. Actually, he was very much in ecstasy when Vidura was asking him so many questions. He was constantly wiping away tears. He could hardly speak. He was choked up for a long time. Just hearing the questions from Vidura. And so he said, what can we say? Kim nu na kushalam bruyam? What auspicity can there be now? Krishna has left the planet. I can't say anything. And finally, he would have left to the Himalayas. But so then before that, he said, actually, you can approach Maitreya. He was also there. Somehow or other, Maitreya, he wound up in Haridwar, just where Krishna was sitting under a small banyan tree. There's so many symbolic things given by Acharyas, Vishwanath, and others. What it symbolizes, Krishna sitting there, one leg up, in this young banyan tree. So many things are there, Acharyas are bringing out, but only Maitreya was there. He also heard this same instruction that Uddhava heard. And because they want to show some great example, Uddhava, although a little elderly, still he was much younger than Maitreya, therefore he said, you go to Maitreya, because he's a senior, and he heard everything. And Uddhava was also had a mission to go and, to the sages in the Himalayas in Badrika Ashram. He was instructed by Krishna. So even the Mayavadis, they like to study Uddhava Gita, they call it Atma Gita. They have a big Mayavadi ashram nearby, they study that, even Yoga Ashram. They have one of their programs, they study this very small idea of how the actual expanse of Uddhava Gita. I mean, I don't think any of us would want to have to or could. We would like to read Uddhava Gita every day, but it would perspire our brains. And I mean, just to read one chapter of Krishna instructing Uddhava, and there's so many chapters. But so for that, we have to go there and hear that. We have to go up to 11th canto. Most of the 11th canto after chapter 7 or so, it's all Uddhava Gita to the end, right? Chapter 8, 9, 10. So those instructions are amazing, and many of those verses are quoted throughout Bhagavatam, throughout Chaitanya Charitamrita, various scriptures. So when, again, when Vidura came back, he was, everyone was listening to his speaking, not only to Dhritarashtra, but others. Pratikriyane is nothing. He also described avigyata, that this household life, evam griheshu saktanam, pramatanam tadihaya, and Prabhupada says pramatanam means insanely attached. Pramata, nunam pramata, the same word is used by Rishabhdev when he's instructing his son. Certainly, they're insanely attached. Everyone in this material world is. Nunam means certainly. Nunam pramatam kurute vikarma. And as a result, vikarma. They're doing not just karma, but vikarma. Many times we refer to materialists as karmi, but no. They have vikarmi, mostly vikarmi. So when Uddhava, rather when Vidura was speaking with Maitreya in the beginning of the fifth chapter, third canon, it's coming up, just now coming. He, Janashya Krishnad, Vimokashya Daivad, Adharmashilasya, Shudukitasya. He says many, for 16 verses practically, or 15, 16 verses, he's awaiting to hear the instructions of Maitreya, but just to hear the nectar of Vidura's questions is enough to, you know, you can't hardly get behind after that, you know. But still, it's meant to be heard again, studied. Kastripniya tirtabhado vinana. Who could be satisfied with hearing? You know, like, he said, Sukhaya, Karmani, he said, we heard about all this creation and all about the material world, but it didn't satisfy me at all. I heard about it. And then even it was said again to Shonaka by Sutta, and Parikshit heard it from Sukadev. Somehow it's repeated over and over again, the same story of creation, but we also hear that they're not satisfied by that. Yeah. Although Paravara Vido Vidu is described that Sutta Goswami is Paravara. He's a very senior Vedantist. He knows not only the spiritual world, spiritual messages, but also the material side. So, and Prabhupada brings that out in these purports here that, where am I? He says about the physical and the two classes of men and like that. So we give Bhagavatam to, I'm sure Maharaj Das gave someone yesterday, he wasn't a pure devotee. So something may attract him more. I remember when I first looked at Bhagavad Gita, before even the purple Gita was printed, they would give these little Gita press Gitas about an inch and a half or something. I don't know, very small. And I was looking through it. And the thing that attracted me was the universal form. The other things were like, what's all this stuff about? I mean, it wasn't Prabhupada's Gita, you know, it was just like some Gita printed. And so, of course, the English is also weird. There's no purports to it. So if you read Bhagavad Gita like that, yeah, it's not going to get the full idea. So, but people will be attracted to that part. I think the 11th canto is like, wow, this all this amazing thing is going on. If hundreds and thousands of suns, Divi Surya Sahasrasa, Bhavad Yuga Parutita, if they rise it simultaneously, this is like the, gives you some idea, and all the soldiers are entering into the mouth, Dvava Pati Bhyorinta Idamantara. So that attracts even a materialist who might be somewhat ready to hear something like that, you could say. So in this purport also, Prabhupada talks about the rose. This reminds me, in Calcutta, I was sitting in Prabhupada's room. We first came in, and there was flower petals all around Prabhupada. It was just, nobody there really. Shudakirti was busy doing something, and He wasn't recording it, unfortunately. And Prabhupada was actually holding up a rose sitting in his room in Calcutta, and he was sitting by the window and he was holding this rose, and he was looking at the rose and he was describing how beautiful just the rose was. And he was looking at it at different angles, and he said, "This rose just seems so perfect," he said. "And they say there is no God." The way Prabhupada said it is like, "And they say there is no God. How dull. How dull." I mean, you have to be, from Prabhupada's angle, you have to be really stupid to think there's no God. Like, what rose can you make? You know, plastic roses. Prabhupada became very alarmed when they offered some synthetic flower, old flowers. This is not right. So he talks here about painting a rose. I can tell you it's not that easy. I mean, the people paint roses, but if you're painting a whole painting and the rose is there, it's not like just painting a rose. Some people spend, you know, a few days or a week just painting one rose, and it looks really amazing. It may be better than a photograph even, you know, this really great rose. I mean, I've saved them on my phone, on my computer, because it's just good reference. Because they go out of their way to get the right lighting and the right camera equipment, and just really a great picture of a rose. And painted with a tiny, tiny brush with every detail, with drops of water on there, and still, that's just a, maybe not even a painted picture, maybe just a digital picture of a rose. It's nothing. And Krishna's creating so many roses, and the entire, like, seasonal change with trees changing and all roses. So the earth is creating so many flowers, not just the rose, but many, many flowers out there. Piti gamja, the verse in the Gita. So with the earth, there's the scent, and everything is coming out, many things. Prabhupada would say many times, you cannot put a seed of some other flower and expect a rose. No, the rose will come from the rose seed. But of course, if you have desire tree, it can produce everything. So Prabhupada says in this purport, if this is a real fact, how can we say a real rose has taken its shape without intelligence behind the beauty? This sort of conclusion is due to poor fund of knowledge. One must know from the above description of creation and annihilation that the Supreme Consciousness, being omnipresent, can take care of everything with perfect attention. So in one of the slokas that Vidura speaks to Maitreya before he even hears the questions, of course Maitreya was in ecstasy hearing Vidura's questions. You know, he's such an exalted person, Bhagavata Uttama. But his questions are amazing like that, or his presentation is, and he's glorifying in that very second, in that verse, in the fifth chapter. Janasya Krishna Vimukasya Daiva, by somehow misfortune, Durdaivam actually, these living entities have turned their face away from Krishna. Janasya Krishna Vimukasya, Mukha means face, but their Vimukha means they turn their face away from Krishna. But still, persons like, he's praising Maitreya, you are, of course, Vidura is on the same level, but still he's praising that you're going everywhere. Anugraha yeha charanti nuna. Anugraha means special mercy. So these great acharyas, they're coming out of special mercy, compassion. Anugraha yeha bhavanti bhutani charanti. There's that last line. He says, they're great philanthropic souls. So they're willing to give up everything. Tapyanti lokatapena. There has to be some type of austerity. I was reading something recently about some famous guru, Indian guru, and other Hindus were criticizing him. Although he was made a lot of money, and he was maybe even sincere, they said he has not given them any austerities. There's no tapasya. How can they make any advancement just by doing? Even they were saying, not as heavy as Prabhupada or Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, but they were even saying, give some mantra for some money and then. But Bhagavatam tells us clearly, tapyanti lokatapena, sarva preso, the sadhus, these great sadhus, they suffer for others. And we have all those examples besides throughout Bhagavatam, Prahlad, Maharaj. So Prahlad Maharaj was saying so many things. How he's saying, praying namone o vimukti, not after his own vimukti, praying it. What is that verse? No. Prayana deva muneo sovi mukti kama. Prayana deva muneo. The munis, many of them are just after their sovi mukti kama, their own liberation. That's it. Sovi mukti kama. So Prabhupada followed in the footsteps of Vidura, Maitreya, Prahlad Maharaj, evam janana patitam prabhavahi kupe, one of Prahlad's verses that Prabhupada wrote in the Jaladutta. That evam janana patitam prabhavahi ahikupe means a well of serpents. Actually, Prahlad was literally put in a room or a pit of snakes. And also, he said his association with Narada Muni, he has become purified. He said, how could I ever give the service of my guru? So, therefore, Prabhupada was writing that particular verse because it mentions the guru right there. I could not ever give up the association of mine. Not only association, but his instructions. So all these acharyas, we get their association by the mercy, anugraha. Prabhupada had this anugraha. He's going on this boat. He doesn't know what's going to happen. He's suffering heart attacks. He has just a bag of some granola. I don't know what he had in his boat, Jaladutta. Sometimes cooking some rice or something on the boat. But he had no idea what's there. But he gave up everything. Takwa bandava. Kapila Devi was telling his mother, Deva Hudyos, Saiva Sadashukrito Mokshadvaranapam. That don't become attached to anything in this material. Take that same desire for attachment and become attached to Bhagavatam. Not only just Prabhupada's purport, but we get the associate Vidura, Maitreya, Uddhava, all those great persons, of what they've done, what they've said. So that way we have. Otherwise, how Prabhupada said, there was one Dhritarashtra, but now there's millions of Dhritarashtras. So we all have to feel that we're a Dhritarashtra. He's speaking to us, Vidura. There's no remedial measure here. You have to get out. Your teeth are loose. You're living like a dog. They don't use the word dog, but Palava means someone who guards the door. So that you're eating the remnants of Bhima. He killed your sons and your favorite two sons. He killed them, Vidura said. He was not holding back. Just see, he killed your two sons. He killed all your sons were killed, and you're just trying to live some comfortable life. How is that? You have no pride. I think your teeth are loose. You're going to die anytime. You have to go out. Get out of here. So this is some of the things that why he came back, as it says, mentions here, why did he come back? Let us know why he again came home. So find out, but you have to go back to the first canon. Get that part. But it's okay. Okay, so any questions?
I think Dhritarashtra was instructed previously to treat the Pandavas fairly, and you know he says that you're giving me good advice, but I just can't follow it. So what made Vidura think that this time he's going to follow his good advice about you're not, you know, previously he could not follow and he rejected even though he understood it was good advice, but he still acted the opposite way.
All those guys were gone now, Duryodhana and Rascal. He was just there alone with his wife, apparently, and the Pandavas. I'm sure there were other people, but those guys couldn't influence him anymore. So I guess he figured the coast was clear.
Time to check out.
Vidura is considered a pure devotee of the Lord. But then We know after he left his body, then he went back as Yamaraj.
He was a Vasu, right? He also says he was a Vasu.
Yamaraj.
Yeah.
But are the demigods pure devotees? I mean, like sometimes Srila Prabhupada writes different things about the demigods. He's a pure devotee here now, but then he went back to the pose of Yamaraj.
Could
reconcile that.
Mahajana yena gata sapanta, right? Tarko patishta shutel vina. Don't speculate. If you want to be a muni, you always have to create some new philosophy. We're not interested in creating a new philosophy. We're interested in following the Mahajana. And
Yamaraj is the Mahajana.
So whether they stay, just like Arjuna, he incarnates again and again with Krishna in the material world, probably. So it's not so bad in getting the association. If you're doing a mission, they may go back. I have no clue about that. Eventually, he may have gone now. Still, we follow the Mahajan.
I really appreciated how Prabhupada described Krishna's creation and how he creates. He's right there creating the flowers and all everything. So I'm thinking, flowers don't have much fragrance these days, but yet there's more devotees present on the planet than maybe 50 years ago when flowers did have a fragrance.
I mean, I always look to the verse in the 12th canto. It says, Tatascha nunigam dharma satyam sochan kshama daya kalena balina rajam nangchancha yor balam smriti. That day by day, and this is Sukadeva speaking, he probably knows more than us, day by day, all those things are diminishing. Anudinam means day by day. Therefore, tadashtuninam dharma, he gave all the anomalies, crazy anomalies going on. Vittam avikalauninam, by money, you become pious, a puffed up person will sit on a big chair, a Brahmin will have a 2-cent thread, all the things. You should know, the summary is that day by day, all the things are being diminished. Dharma gyanati bi saha. Right, we already heard of it. So, satyam, truth, satyam, shama, forgiveness, daya, mercy, strength, balam, memory, all those things are being diminished day by day. So, kimsuka, a flower, nirganda kimsuka. Kimsuka, I mean, where's the happiness, the pleasure in a flower that has no smell? But, Nirganda, Kim Sukha, there's no happiness in it. I mean, it looks okay, but then sometimes they bring around the flower and what's this? It's just like paper. Like in the Bengalis have that thing called Kagaj, what is it called? Kagaj Phool? The paper flowers. Kagaj Phool. It looks nice. They're growing everywhere. They grow in the West. Purple, pink, absolutely no smell. So, but those are not meant to be offered. I mean, we artificially put some oil on it or something.
I heard Vaisheshika Prabhu speak on this point. He said, if you're offering flowers to the deity that don't have a fragrance, that's just niyamagraha, like a ritual, but not for pleasing Krishna, really. And he says, and then worse than that, you go around and offer it to all the Vaishnavas and without a fragrance. So
I don't, if there's a flower, I mean, not that I'm bringing around the flower very often, but if it doesn't smell, I just think.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't make sense. Why would I want to, like, bring it around? Even when there's this oil put on it, it's kind of weird. I mean, but Stidier doesn't agree. Yeah, well, patram pushpam, a leaf, water, they don't have much scent. We offer a leaf.
Yeah, I mean, sure, you want a first class flower with natural scent, but you're also pretty.
I'm on your side. I'm going to hire a lawyer right here. Okay, she's got the mic now.
No, she has the mic. What problem is there so much?
Look, affirmative action here.
I was just thinking of when you were talking about the flowers and the, how Krishna is an amazing artist. I was thinking how Krishna empowers the devotees. You're talking about the universal form, and I was thinking about Adidev Prabhu and Shiladitya Mataji, who had this beautiful diorama in Los Angeles. And what a creation! I mean, how can you present universal form, and yet they did such an amazing job with the universal form in LA. When my mother always read the Bhagavad Gita one chapter a day, and so for years, you know, she's been reading the universal form, and then when I took her there, she was just in tears, like as if she was seeing Krishna, you know, with the universal form. So yeah, even devotees get empowered by Krishna to create him. Thank you.
What to speak of the actual universal form?
Well, I think we have to give credit where credit's due, and the real visionary of that universal form was Bhardwaj, in conjunction with a devotee named Amayatma, who used to live here.
You and your wife work on it?
Oh yeah. Everybody in
fact, Amayatma was a computer.
There was like about 200 dolls in that one exhibit. But
and Bhardwaj's voice is there, right?
Yeah. We went to...
By the way, Prabhupada said, in our ISKCON, Bhardwaj is the best singer, so... Besides whatever art he did.
Multi-talented. Yeah. Yeah, yes. Yeah. Bhardwaj and I went to the L.A. County Museum, and there was an exhibit that somebody had created in the middle of this room. It was a sculpture covered with mirrors.
And covered it was like what? This
it was a sculpture. It was like a box, but it was mirrored. And there was a way to enter that. And you entered standing up, and there was mirrors all on the inside, and you would kind of curve around inside of this box in the middle of this room, and there was mirrors to where you had to actually, it was built in such a way that you actually had to kind of crawl to get out of it. But this box made such an impression, I think, on Bhardwaj. I remember he and I were standing in this box, and he had his chatra, and he waved the chatra. And you can see, because there's mirrors on either side, kind of like in a barbershop, it just, the image goes on, you know, forever. Yeah, so it was just like, whoa. So we built a box. It was 15 by 15 by 15 feet and covered it with mirrors. And you'd sit there and your image goes off. So the back wall was a rear projection screen, so we could project images on that back wall. And those images would go off into eternity, you know. Below you, above you, on either side of you, you know. So it was an amazing thing.
And you guys didn't try to put one in the Fate Museum?
It was in L.A., yeah, the Fate Museum.
You had that in the Fate Museum?
Yeah.
It's still there?
Still there.
Did you try it? Did you try it too?
Go see it.
Huh? Did you try to have the universal form? Detroit.
Detroit, she said.
No. That was a whole different thing. Okay. But yeah. Oh, where's the barber?
Okay, anyone else? Jai Srimad Bhagavatam.